According to town lore, one summer morning in 1957, a North American T-6 Harvard, one of the smaller training planes in the Israeli Air Force, buzzed low and fast over the eucalyptus trees and under the low power lines of Kibbutz Ein HaHeresh, a small community about 60 kilometers north of Jerusalem. The plane, painted bright yellow and, by its markings, based at the IAF training school at Petah Tikva, went on to skim the fish ponds at Kibbutz Mabrot, coming in so low that it knocked a farmer off his tractor. The pilot then pulled up, waggled his wings, and disappeared into the horizon and into infamy. The pilot's name was Naaman Diller, and his family had been early members of Ein HaHeresh, literally the Plowman's Spring, a small settlement founded in 1931 and home to some 500 idealistic and taciturn settlers. The town motto was a verse about flight and acceptance. Our best years behind us. We did not chase winds in a dream. No dream more beautiful than our actions. Although Ein HaHeresh had many brave sons and daughters in the Israeli military, it was Naaman Diller who took the motto to heart and took to the air at an early age. Now he was about to be grounded. As the plane flew overhead, one resident, Giora Furman, then 22 and a flight school instructor on vacation, approached Aaron Shavit, the commander of the nearby IAF flight school, and inquired as to the name of the falcon who buzzed his village. He promised to find out, Furman would recall years later. The next day, he kicked Diller out of the course. Recklessness and repentance were the two constants in Diller's life. His widow, Shamrat, would later describe him as kind and friendly, outgoing but quiet in large groups, the heart of any gathering. Look at pictures of him, and you're drawn to his deeply lined face, the pat of curly hair that he sometimes shaved to a military buzz, and his large blue eyes. He was whippet thin, even as a child, and had the studied, careful demeanor of an athlete at rest. He exhibited flashes of sobering intelligence, and at the same time his manner marked him as a man of the earth, a kibbutznik, someone who would make his parents proud. In some ways, said Shamrat, it separated him from so many other people, but he was very quick to understand things. In Hebrew, there is an expression that says somebody has golden hands, meaning that he can do everything. He was very, very technically and mechanically oriented. In 1957, Naaman was to be one of Ein HaHoresh's wind chasers, protecting the hard-won homeland from the massing forces at her borders. Israel was then a wild and rugged place. That January, four Israeli POWs were traded for an astonishing 5,850 Egyptian prisoners, including a number of military generals. In March, another four soldiers were kidnapped in Petra, and the small planes of the IAF ran reconnaissance along the borders, hoping to avoid further losses. The Israeli government tasked the nascent IAF, flying used World War II planes and jets sourced from friendly Western nations, with protecting troops on the ground, and the soldiers were always in trouble. To be a kibbutzim was an honor in itself, and to be a kibbutzim military man was the highest honor a young man could bestow on his proud parents. Naaman had been born on January 7, 1939, to an idealistic young Polish woman, Ernestine Friedman, nicknamed Arn. She was a psychologist from Jarosław, Poland, a small town west of Wrocław, home to one of the few Jewish synagogues remaining on the San River. When she landed in Israel, near Eilat, in 1935, she barely spoke Hebrew. She was assigned to teach kindergarten, but when the children asked her the name of a flower or bug, she couldn't answer. Instead, she would promise to look it up and return with the answer in the morning. There was a stage when I stopped going for walks in the garden with the children so they wouldn't ask so many questions, she said. She was overbearing, opinionated, and dedicated to the Zionist cause. Her husband, Naaman's father, was Zviv Diller, a taciturn man who fell in love with Arn because she worked so hard. Like Naaman, he was tall and skinny with dark hair. He was the quiet to Arn's storm, accepting the stoic in the face of his wife's outburst. The boy, born at the brand-new Beilinson Hospital in Petah Tikva, was healthy and seemingly happy.